welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
Let's go over to Mark's Gospel, if you would, to the fifth chapter. Amen. Church is changing. I talked a little bit to Ted yesterday. He was traveling from Rochester to Providence, Rhode Island, and he called me up when he got near the Albany area. We talked a little bit, and he said to me, he said, Pastor, preachers aren't preaching the word anymore. He said they're trying to get people into church, and they're trying to do it with all kinds of gimmicks. He said, keep preaching the word. He said, keep preaching the word. Don't stop preaching the word. And I says, no, we're not going to. Amen. My brother goes to a full charismatic church like we do, and little by little he's seen the changes where they used to have altar calls like we just had and pray over the offering, do everything we do here, same kind of thing, just spirit-filled church. And he says, little by little over the last 2 years, it's dwindled down to they don't pray for the offering anymore. He says, little by little, and then the pastor said, our goal is to reach everybody 40 and under. So I'm saying to myself, now, let me see. Jesus said he died for everybody. Oh, excuse me, everybody 40 and under. Doesn't the Bible say that the older should teach the younger? But do you understand how things get into the church as well as our own lives that's contrary to the word? As soon as I heard that, I said, it's not in the word. See, you and I can learn a lesson that if it's not in the word, our first response, but that's not what the Bible says. You give me a scripture and verse that will support that. That's like saying that he died only for the women or the men or a certain color of skin or a certain nationality. Jesus died for everybody. You understand that? All of us have red blood running through our veins. Amen. Understand that he died for everybody. But that kind of teaching is little by little seeping into the church. You understand that? Don't let it happen in your personal life or in anybody else's life. I think what happens in the church in America, and I keep seeing it and seeing it, is that we have a, how many of you have a favorite preacher on TV or something like that? I have one person that stands out to me more than anybody. I really, really enjoy listening to him, and he's never gotten off base. But so many people listen to somebody, and then they get off base, and they say, well, he's still my favorite preacher, or she's still my favorite preacher, and that's okay. No, it's not okay. Anytime I or another preacher or somebody are reading a book, listening to, you know, and you hear something, they go, get away from it. You understand that? You can toss that aside. You don't throw out the speaker or what he's doing. But that may be one thing that may be his preference or what he thinks. But little by little, what happens is you see that thing take foothold more and more and more. Your first reaction should be, and mine should be, that's not what the word says. Amen? I'm telling you, if not, the enemy is out there looking to take all of us out. That's his purpose. You understand? To do what? To take all of us out. Amen? All right. So we're in Mark's Gospel, the fifth chapter. Well, let's read a little bit, because what I want to do is share with you the principle of law. Amen? Law. Now, what I've done is gone back to Webster's Dictionary, 1828. Webster was a born-again believer, and today's dictionary, if you look up words, look nothing like what the original dictionary was. Amen? Because they've changed with our culture. They've changed with society. But understand this now, when it comes to laws, can I give you an example? This is probably an example we'd all understand. There's a bottle law. How many of you know there's a bottle law? On the side of the bottle, it tells you what stage, all right? So there's a bottle law, and it started out with any carbonated beverages. How many of you know that didn't help the landfill? Then they went back and did what? Water. Is there any other plastic containers that you know of that are not water or carbonated? Where are they going? Understand that. But man has to keep changing the laws, understand? He changes laws when it comes to driving, when it comes to paying tax. Man's laws are always changing, but God's laws are in fact set, and they're not going anywhere. Amen? Understand that principle. Now, let's go over here, the fifth chapter of Mark's Gospel, and let's read a little bit, all right? We've been reading this and going over it, but I want to try to establish another principle, if you don't mind, in your heart, all right? Look at verse 22. Then one of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he prostrated himself at his feet. He begged him earnestly, saying, listen to what he says now, saying, because you got to get this principle in everything out of our mouth, is what's going to be established. All right, listen, saying, amen, my. All right, saying, my little daughter is at the point of what? Death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she might be healed in what? So he was making a confession out of his mouth. Am I correct? That if you'll come and lay hands on her, what's going to happen? She will live and not die. All right? Understand that principle. Now, I said something a few weeks ago, and I raised a few eyebrows, which is not hard for me to do. But when Jesus came before the tomb of Lazarus, and they said he had been dead for what? 3 days, 4 days, all right? But Jesus said, why? He's just asleep. This is unto the glory of God. And that word dead there, listen to me now, that word dead, if you'll study it in the Greek linear, you'll find out that dead is not dead. It means he died. There's a difference between somebody who died and is dead. Dead is dead. Jesus what? Didn't dead. He what? Died and did what? Rose. When the Bible talks about lest a seed falls into the ground and deads. Oh. Because no longer how long you have that seed in your hand, even though it looks like it's not doing anything, it's withered up, it's not dead, it just needs to get somewhere and die. You understand that? So the Word of God, if that seed represents the Word of God is always alive, it's never dead. It's looking for a place to be planted. If the seed that dies inside of us, the Word, will eventually do what? Produce. Listen, they're still trying to figure out how a seed can do what it does. Whether it's a flowering plant, whether it's a stalk of corn or tomatoes or anything else, they still don't understand how that germination prop, they just can't figure it out. Maybe they're not supposed to. Maybe just have faith that when I put this seed where it belongs in the natural, what's it going to do? Going to produce after its own kind. If we can put the seed of God's word where? In our hearts so that it can do what? Produce after its own kind, we will see a great harvest in our lives. Understand? So the seed is not dead, it's died. Unless the seed falls in the ground, does what? You can't have new life. So a seed, God's word, gets in us and it dies to what we believe and it produces what it's supposed to produce. You understand that now? All right? That's why Jesus likes things that have died. Why? Because he can raise them from the dead. Amen? Glory to God. Can we go a little further here? All right. Now, what has this man called Jairus established? He's established the law. Say a law. How did he establish a law? With his mouth. He's established the word of God out of his mouth that his daughter is near death, but if you'll come and lay hands on her, Jesus, she will be healed and also do what? Live again. Amen. Not with a sickness and a disease, but say live again. Now that's the confession out of his what? What's it based on? It's based on the fact that the Holy Spirit had spoken to him and he had probably seen and heard much about Jesus and he started believing what he heard and what he saw and what he... You understand that now? This is before Paul wrote anything about anything in Hebrews. They didn't have a New Testament like you and I have, but they were initiating a law of confession. Hebrews 10:23 says, if we profess with our mouth, that word profession means confession. It's a law. Say it's a law. If there's a law that you stop at every red light, what should you do? How many of you know there's a right turn on red? How many of you ever see a white line along the side of the road and you want to make a right turn and there's five cars in front of you? That if you go on the shoulder, that's what? And everybody is smiling now. Boy, I'll tell you that. There's a sign down here right in front of the diner that says riding on this shoulder is illegal. And the police stay right next door at the dry cleaner in their driveway, smiling. He writes out more tickets. He doesn't have to do much after the first 2 or 3 days of the month because people are breaking the what? Law. There are consequences for what? Breaking the law in the natural. There are consequences, not that God puts on us, but there are consequences that we don't receive all that God has for us because we're making a choice not to believe God's word at face value. Amen? Jairus got a hold of the confession of his mouth and started believing. Now listen, it gets better now. I know we've read this before, but I want you to get something new every time you read this, all right? And Jesus did what? Went with him. What was Jesus doing? He had come to a point of agreement. His going with him was a point of agreement. Amen? My wife sometimes will say, honey, let's pray about such and such. And I said, let's agree. I may come up with something. She'll say, let's agree, honey. We always pray a prayer of agreement based on what? The word of God. Say, there's power in agreement. Does not the word say, if any two shall agree touching any one thing, it shall be what? See, that's how it is in heaven. The word says what? It's already been established, Psalm 119:9. It forever is established there. And when Jesus came to earth, what was he trying to do? Bring the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, down to earth and establish what? Kingdom. Why did the scribes and Pharisees get so upset and mad at him? Because he was establishing the kingdom here, which messed up their kingdom. Nobody likes the kingdom of their own life messed up. I mean, you know, that's true. We want to have it our way. Guess what? If you and I are born-again believers and we're followers of Christ, we can't have it our way. It's got to be whose way? Say God's way. Is it easy? No, but it's something we grow into as we mature and grow in Christ. I am still maturing and growing. Every day I'm learning how to keep my mouth closed and only say what the word said. But every once in a while, what? Whoop, it slips out. I'm having a better understanding than I've ever had before. Now, the other day I was in the car with James, and little Matthew was in the back, and we were talking, and he was using, you know, we like to get in discussions about what the Bible said and stuff, and he uses a big word. And all of a sudden, this voice comes from the back of the car. That's not a nice word, Daddy. Now, why would he say that out of his mouth, except he did not understand at 2.5 what the word meant? It wasn't a bad word, a naughty word, I understand it. But it was a word he didn't understand, and because he didn't what? Understand it, he said out of his mouth, that's not a nice word. We have to have understanding of the word of God, so if we have understanding, the enemy can't come and steal it. Let me share again with you, Mark chapter 4, about what? The sower. If you go over to Matthew 13, I think it is, talks about the sower, same thing. But Matthew says something different. The enemy comes immediately in Mark's gospel to steal the word once it's sown on what kind of ground? Say hard ground. Have you ever put some grass seed out and never turned the ground over? What happens? Nothing grows. Why? That thing has to have loose ground to get in. Our hearts have to be loose and ready to receive the word of God, correct? But in Matthew's gospel, it says it this way. The enemy comes immediately to steal the word. But then there's a comma. Because there's no understanding. If we understand the word, he can't come and rip us off. But if we don't understand the word, then we are subject to him coming and taking it because it's not doing anything that it should be doing in our lives. We need an understanding of the precious word of God. This needs to be in our life every day. How many of you things you have and I have in my life every day we do repetitiously? How many of you brush your teeth every day? Thank you very much. It's repetitiously. Some of you do it twice a day. How many of you do it twice? Three times? Anybody here four? We do some things in the natural repetitiously, all right? How many of us have one cup of coffee a day? I heard the ooh. How many have two? Three? How many have a pot? Do you do it, I don't want to say religiously, do it every day? Why do you do that? You like coffee? It tastes good. That's a good reason. This tastes good in the realm of the Spirit, and we need to do it every day.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive.